praise his name. Let's stand, if you will. Let's just bow our heads. We open the service. Glorious, glorious Heavenly Father. Oh, what a day. Lord, we look and see your closeness and your purity. Father, we see the movement of your Spirit now. It's guiding us and leading us into the Word. Lord, making sure we understand and have revelation, Lord, and not just a thought or a man's creed, Lord. But Father, you're assuring our hearts by thy word. We're so appreciative. Bless us, Lord, even now, tonight. Lord, as your word comes, may we grow in your word again, Lord. Father, know how to please you. Bless us now. Each and every one that's gathered, may you just have your way in our lives. Draw us ever closer to thee. We look to you, Lord, in your precious name, the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Praise his name. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Amen. Turn with me in our Only Believe books, page 389. Man, I love this little song. Sung it not too often long ago. Is it well with your soul? Amen.
When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrow like sea billows roll,
and I bear.
Hallelujah. Praise his holy name. Praise his name. Page 266. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Hallelujah.
God sent his son.
Like he said, he promised. Amen.
Some people from the Lord are running. They say that he's not coming, but they don't understand what the word said of that day. Some believe it's just a fable, but I know
split those eastern skies, and I believe.
gravitation in the twinkling of an eye be caught away. Yes, I believe, oh glory, be back like he said. Oh, I believe that a voice is gonna sound so loud one day and away the day.
Keep your eye on the goal. Oh, it's so close. Amen. Brother Hamilton, would you come up?
Precious God. Precious Lord.
Amen. That's the blessing.
So grateful.
Amen. Where would I be without Jesus? Amen.
Where would I be without Jesus? Where would I spend eternity? Oh, lost in a world full of sorrow. Oh, without Jesus, where would I be? Oh, tell me, where would I be? Spend eternity lost in a world full of sorrow. Without Jesus, where would I be?
Amen.
Precious Lord, I may have something on your heart you'd like to make known. Amen. Just hold it on your heart. So Josh, would you take requests this evening?
Dear precious Heavenly Father, we are such a thankful people, Lord. Lord, as the song says, Lord, you're coming back, like you said. Lord, we don't want to get too comfortable down here, Lord. We got to keep training for that big race that's just ahead. Lord, just keep us on our toes, Lord. Keep us hot, keep us on fire for you.
Yes.
And Lord, as we come before you now, Lord, with needs upon our heart, Lord, you know each and every hand that was raised. Lord, you know those who have a need, Lord, your little bride, wherever she may be around this earth.
Yes.
Lord, that's how great you are. Lord, and that's why we leave it all into your hands, Lord, asking you to take care of every situation.
Yes,
Lord, heal every sick person. Lord, heal every mind. Lord, give rest and peace where it's needed. Lord, we just ask you, Lord, to have your way this evening. As your word comes forth, Lord, give us revelation. Lord, greater than anything else in this life. Lord, we ask it now. In your precious name, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the name.
Amen.
Oh.
we just want to say thank you once more, Lord, for drawing us together to this little place. And Father, to come underneath the anointing of the Holy Spirit and just to have you refresh our hearts, Lord, in the way of song and singing and worshiping you, Lord, and then to be able to sit underneath the quietness of your Spirit, Lord, and just to renew our minds, Lord, to the words that you've spoken and left for us. And Father, we just pray that some way this evening, Lord, through this small exhortation, that, Lord, it'll strengthen someone's heart, Lord, maybe cause someone to press on a little greater. You alone, Lord, know what each of us need, and we just yield ourselves to you for service now, Lord, and asking that your will be done in all things. In the most precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. He is so precious. Amen. So thankful. While you're still standing, if you would, we'll turn our Bibles to Ephesians and read a very familiar scripture in the fourth chapter. Amen. I just couldn't seem to get away from the thought. It was on my heart. And, you know, we've been, the last couple Thursday evenings, have just been talking about being rooted and built up and what letting the Word build us up, what Christ is doing for us.
Yes.
And so just kind of maybe a little bit of that same thought tonight, but just think about these scriptures as we read them and what the Lord is doing for each one of us as an individual. But in Ephesians 4, and let's just catch here at the 11th verse to catch what Paul was saying. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, and by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. May the Lord bless you in his word. You may be seated. Is you just think when Apostle Paul, as he was speaking that and realizing that God give those gifts to men to be able to bring this word, as it says in Hebrews, men moved by the Holy Spirit wrote the things that are here today for our admonition. The Holy Spirit watching over us. But and it's how it's been laying here and how the Holy Spirit in this day has sent forth a prophet and open up our understanding through the way of the word and the leading of the Holy Spirit to bring us to that place of growing up and ripening and becoming a full age Christian, a son or daughter of God. And as I said, we each can look back in our lives, I'm sure, and see a time each one of us might be able to say we were truly in that place, that we might have been tossed a little bit and we might have been thrown a little bit with some winds of doctrine that came our way. But as we have continued to grow and to ripen, you think of that little corn stalk as it grows out in the field when it's really young and the winds come and it kind of pushes it over. But as it gets its maturity and as it gets stronger and it gets its roots in the ground, the winds come and the rains come and the big old ears of corn grow on there, but it still stands perfectly straight and tall and just holds itself till the harvest. And how it's, I truly feel that's, the word is doing that in the heart of the little believer. It's a time of stabilizing, a time of holding fast, as Paul said, and to realize what the word is building in us. You know, it may not be a great time. You know, you see some as they're running to and fro looking for great excitement and great this happening and oh, look over here what's taking place and look at this. But in the heart of that little believer, she's centered to one thing. What is the will of the Lord for me as an individual? And how that's, I believe God's word is drawing that little bride, wherever she is all over this earth, to that place. As Brother Branham said, there's got to come a time that the stabilizers would be put on. A time, a place of holding and to be in a strong and the grain truly laying in the presence of the sun and ripening and bringing forth fruit. And if you would, one more turn over to Colossians, read a little verse of scripture Paul here mentioning in the second chapter. And you just kind of got to look and see what God's doing for you as an individual. It's always wonderful to hear someone else's testimony, so to speak, or to hear someone else say, the Lord is really dealing with my heart. But when you can see he's dealing with your heart and
And you see that realness and that assure, steadfastness and that assurance coming to you, as Paul said, that full assurance of faith. How that's got to be building it in us as individuals, that's the part that's making it real. It's making it, it's not just, so to speak, as it used to be. It seemed like it used, people used to have to run from revival to revival to keep that fire burning. But today in that little heart, the revival's dying out through the land. But in the heart of that little elected, it's burning a fervent heat, waiting and looking for the soon coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. But in Colossians 2 here, and just Paul speaking here about the sixth verse, and he says, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith as ye have been taught, and abounding therein with thanksgiving. Amen. And truly it causes a great thanksgiving in your heart to see God's word and what it means to you as an individual. And to realize that it's not you, it's not what you can do, it's not how much, but it's what he's done for you and is doing through you.
Yes.
And when you truly see, as our pastor was speaking, as he's been speaking, he did the drawing, the Lord, he did the drawing, he put the desire there, he come looking for you and pulled you to this place. And it's amazing grace if you truly have that desire burning, or feel that drawing taking place and seeing that there's a reality to God's word and I'm climbing higher and I'm growing in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
You know, it's a continual moving on. There's a something hungering, it's pulling. It don't matter what stage you're at. You might have been serving the Lord for 60 years and it's still pulling just as great. Or you might just be starting to feel the flames really begin to boil up inside. But that same desire will pull us to the same goal.
Amen.
Amen. And it'll pull us to the completion and the ripening of that grain.
Yes,
amen. In the message, and this may seem strange. It just seemed like they kept the quotes kept kind of falling together like this. But just let's just read them the way I've got them put out here and just let the Lord speak to our hearts. But in paragraph 196, this was in God's provided place of worship, preached April 25th, 1965. He said, the church will come through justification, through Luther, through sanctification, through Wesley, and through the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and then the Pentecostals, and go right on into the perfection of the Son of Man. That when the husband and wife will be the self-same persons, and God will be so manifested in his bride, his church, till they will both be the same. They are one. Now you see where we're at. Don't hold to them traditions and creeds. They were all right in their day. But the flower has bloomed to a blossom now, and it's seed time. Amen.
Amen.
Don't hold back and don't stay in a tradition or an idea someone had, but move with the light, as the prophet said. He said, we continue to grow, and that bride will mature as she moves on. And how it's truly realizing, if you can just look at your own life, and I got to look at my life, but you can truly see the hand of God in all that we've been through. Things you, journey of life as we've come up through and you went here and you fell over here and you got here and it's like, why am I over here all of a sudden? And then you get back, well, now I'm over here. But when you look back now, you can see God's guiding hand.
Amen.
And leading us to a place and bringing us through. You know, the scripture says Jesus learned obedience through the things that he suffered. And as our pastor was talking about our trials and things we go through in life, how it's building us, it's molded the character in us. And it's God has used each and everything he's brought us through to bring us to that place.
Yes.
That little bride, not just here, wherever that little bride is all over this earth, he's used the same methods here and there to bring her to that place to where she is blossoming into a ripening seed.
Yes.
And the maturity is showing forth in her life. And it's not a wishy-washy, not hanging around trying to mix this and mix that, but it's back to the pure, unadulterated Word of God. In the message, Turn on the Light, this was preached January 25th, 1964. This is paragraph 67. But he says, but this is another hour. This is another day. This is the advancement of the gospel. It's coming to its maturity. We can't live in what Luther said, Wesley said, or some of the rest of them. We're living in a light that's predicted for this day. We're in the seventh church age, not the third or the fourth church age. The grain should be able to receive it. And if it doesn't, it falls off and it means nothing. The grain is matured with the light if it goes ahead with the light. And so should the church bring forth the bread of each age, as Jesus commanded, that man shall live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And the bread that we need is the Bible. And it's the complete revelation of God's plan. It's the complete revelation of Jesus Christ. We add nothing to it, nor take anything from it. And whosoever does, his name will be taken out of the book of life. We don't need any creeds to add to this. It's written just the way it was supposed to be. And we don't add nothing to it, take nothing from it. Preach it just the way it is, and God is and will manifest it. Every promise that he promised, he will manifest it just the same. And we're not supposed to take to it or take from it or add to it. Just leave it the way it is. Amen. And look at the increase that God has given to this precious word. Amen. He was the sower that went forth and sowed the seed. And oh my, he's watered it. And he's nurtured it. And it's growing and coming to full manifestation in the heart and life of that little bride all over this earth. And each of us, as the word comes forth each and every time, and as we read or listen to the word, when we're not here, at home, wherever you may be meditating, and how it should truly be a time of checking up, a time of monitoring and looking in that mirror, looking for that reflection. What am I seeing? Do I see this word truly being made manifest? Or can I truly say there's really been no change in me? I'm still the same old person I've always been. Still do same as the same old way. And just this. But no, we can truly see by God's grace the changes that he has made in our lives. The conforming to his image. And seeing him take us and bring us to that place by the renewing of our minds. And by the foolishness of preaching. Him in his own way and the way that he set it in order. He is bringing life to that little bride. And oh my, she's coming to full maturity right on time. Oh, when you look around the world and you see all this taking place, and to see the scriptures being fulfilled and the prophecies that went forth, and you see things lining up, and we see all the turmoil, it's good to know that there's peace in the midst of all of that trouble. You don't have to worry. I don't fret. You don't get all tight and contentious and oh my, what's going to happen? No, what happens will happen. But I've got my eyes on a goal and a place of perfect peace and rest. And oh my, what a day it's going to be when we lay this all down. And how that ought to truly be foremost on our hearts each and every day. And you know, sometimes it's hard. The human mind just can't comprehend in its own capacity what's truly waiting and what it's going to be like over there. But oh my, if we will but be faithful and hold fast to those things and let the Lord have his way in our lives, give him our all, surrender everything there is about us to him, our ambitions, our drives. Just let him take us and let that precious word and his Holy Spirit mold us, beat out the dross, check up daily and hourly, pray without ceasing and wait for him to make that full assurance come to our hearts. And what a day it's going to be real soon. But oh my, I think of many of you probably heard it played over and over. A lot of people were playing it and sending it around. But where the prophet was talking about the Pope coming out of the United States. But there's one little verse in there where he said it'll throw all that little elected together out of every place. And oh my, how truly that is what you can see happening as the squeeze starts to come, as the belt starts to tighten down, those that are got that burning to hold to every word, they're going to be thrown together. And oh my, a banding together of the wheat to the barn. Hallelujah. Oh my, may we be watchful, be mindful of these things, and may it let it keep our hearts stirred for what is waiting just around the corner. Amen. Let's see. This is, let me skip over that. Let's go here. This was in Trying to Do God a Service Without It Being the Will of God. And this was preached July 1865. He says, paragraph 39, he says, notice, God reveals his word to his own predestinated, in his own predestinated season. How could Martin Luther note about the message today? And how could the Presbyterians? And how could Martin, He said, and how could the Catholic Church know Martin Luther's message, and how could John Wesley know Luther's message, and how could Wesley know the Pentecostal message? I think I read that.
Amen.
Make sure. Amen. Well, we're going to read it again. Amen. I may have read it, but we're going to read it again.
Amen.
In paragraph 39, we notice God reveals his word in his own predestinated season. How could Martin Luther know about the message today? And how could the Presbyterians, how could Martin or the Catholic Church know Martin Luther's message? How could John Wesley have known Luther's message? And how could Wesley have known the Pentecostals' message? Or how could the Pentecostals know this message? He reveals it in his season because it's his seed and it grows and matures and he reveals himself. Like the heat of the sun to open it up. When it's tender and young, bringing it out of the ground, the seed, then it gives its leaves, and in another stages of the sun, hot sun will kill it if it's the ripening seed or ripening time. So he regulates the sun and he regulates nature to meet his word, and he regulates the church, the predestinated, the bride, to meet the season that they are living in. Even nature itself tells us today, as we see nations breaking and the earth sinking in and the handwriting is on the wall, we see the church and the state it's in. And we see the bride and the state she is in. And we know by nature that the church is getting ready to leave. What a glorious time. It's a time that all the prophets long to see is this hour. And we're here. Think about what we're seeing take place and how this ripening that's taking place as that bride's coming to maturity. And how as that bride reaches that stage and how their lives are truly a vindication. There's no hypocrisy. There's no leftover hanging there. But their lives is truly a vindication and a manifestation of the scriptures. And to that little bride, wherever she may be, that last little one that might need to be caught in, can truly see Jesus Christ being made manifest through a person's heart and life. You watch the Lord use that to his glory and his honor to bring whichever one may need to be there at the last moment.
Yes.
Amen. You know what? I think often of the parable where Jesus said, some came and worked in the 12th hour, or the sixth hour and worked so many hours, and some came and worked this long, and some came, but they all received the same reward. And oh my, may we be ever so grateful if the Lord should bring somebody in the last minute and we see God doing with their life. Oh, what a joy ought to be in our hearts. You know, it isn't like the nature of people today. They see afraid someone will get advantage of them or get a little more than they got because they came in at a later time or this earlier time. But oh my, we've got a reward waiting. And oh my, it don't matter if I may have had to work 90 years and maybe one only worked one. But at the end, that reward's going to be the same.
Yes.
Hallelujah, and I'm looking forward to it.
Hallelujah.
And oh, may we keep our eyes trained and looking for that.
Yes.
Amen. In the church age, this was in the Resume of the Ages, and I didn't write down the page number, but I can get it for you if you need it. And he's speaking here. He says, as we come to the last age, the Laodicean age, this is our age, and we know it's the last age for the Jews are back in Palestine. No matter how they got there, they are there. And this is the harvest time. But before there can be a harvest, there has to be a ripening, a maturing of both vines. The Lutheran age was the springtime. The Wesleyan age was the summer of growth. And the Laodicean age is the harvest time of gathering the tares for binding and burning and gathering wheat for the Lord. And he says, at harvest time, have you noticed that in harvest time there's a real acceleration in the ripening? There's consequently a slowing of growth until there is no growth. Is that not exactly what we are seeing now? The false vine is losing multitudes to communist and various other types of belief. Her numbers are not as increasing as she would like us to think. Her hold on the people is not what it used to be. And in so many cases, going to church is just a show. And the true vine, what about her? Is she growing? Where are those vast numbers that keep coming to revivals and answer altar calls? Are not most of them merely emotional in their approach or desires of something physical rather than desiring that which is truly spiritual? Is this age not like in the day in which Noah entered the ark and the door was shut? But yet God tarried in judgment 7 days, and no one was literally turned to God in those silent days, yet it is the harvest time. There then must come upon the scene in this age those who will bring the wheat and tares to maturity. And the tares are already maturing very fast under corrupt teachers who turn the people from the word. But the wheat also must mature, and to her God is sending that prophet messenger with a vindicated ministry that he might be accepted by the elect. They will hear him as the first church heard Paul, and she will mature in the word until becoming a word bride, and the mighty works will be found in her that are always attendant upon the pure word and faith. And oh my, I believe that's where we're standing today. That little bride is truly coming to that place of the pure word and faith in God's precious word. A reality, a steadfastness. And oh my, does it make her happy? Yes, it makes her happy. Does it make her shout? Absolutely. But oh my, it's just so sweet to feel the comforting arms of the Holy Spirit around you and knowing that he's guiding your path. He's leading you and guiding you through into all truths. And he is the stabilizer that's holding us ever mindful of his word. And how it's truly just so good to feel that in our hearts. And it's just as we come in, and that's why I say sometimes maybe we take it for granted. It's another church service. It's time to go together. But how it should be so sweeter and so much more than that to be able to come in and to sit underneath the presence of the Holy Spirit and truly just feel the precious word reassure us. Maybe there's still a little burr. Maybe it's a little sanding that needs to take place. Maybe a little roughing up that need to knock this off to bring us more in line. But oh my, to that little bride, it's what she's been waiting for. She's hungering for it. And how it's truly bringing it forth in her life. And she's seeing it. Yes. And oh, what a joy it brings. I've thought about it a lot through the week. Just how calming it is in this age. People are all shook up over everything. Everything's a problem. Everything's just, it just seems like everybody's just got something they're worried about. And it's just, but oh, just to be able to sit there in peace and quiet and know with satisfaction, oh my, and to, as you look out and you see the greenery and you see the sky, and I was thanking the Lord this morning, I said, I see you in such beauty and splendor. But oh, I regret the day that man has been involved and just destroyed what God placed here. But oh my, it's going to be a perfect day one of these days. Amen. It will be worth it all. Amen. Let me see here. Let's see here. First, I think I got Peter. Yeah, let's read this here in 1 Peter, the second chapter. Just put this with this. Amen. In 1 Peter, in the second chapter, Peter was speaking here. He says, wherefore, laying aside, starting at the first verse, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be that you have tasted, the Lord is gracious, to whom is coming unto you as a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but a chosen of God and precious. Ye also, as lively or living stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made a head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And how it truly, as Peter was saying, lay aside all of this. Get rid of the hypocrisies. Don't let nothing, it's all gone. Because you are a chosen generation, a peculiar people. Look at how peculiar we have become of wanting only the word and the word only. And to let it be all that God said would be. We don't want to just pick and choose. I'll take this word and leave that one out. I'll take that and I keep this. No. It's all the word. He said, we believe everything. Genesis to Revelations. And what God has said, let it be a truth in every man's, be a word, be a lie. But that is something in that heart of that little bride. That is what's bringing the stabilization. It's not wondering, is this right, is that right? But by God's grace and His Holy Spirit, the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, is leading and guiding and teaching. And all my it is putting the stabilizer on the heart of that little bride, bringing her to that place. She is being rooted and built up and being caught up into a faith that's going to change this body in the moment of a twinkling of an eye. Oh my, because when you think about it, saints, what you are here is what you would be there. All we're going to do is just step out of one robe into another one of these days. And oh, by God's grace, I'm looking forward to it. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
And just some very simple renewing your minds to a few things. But this is the age and this is the time. It is get in line, brother, if you want to go home. A little old gospel song. Amen. Used to sing, but oh my, it's the time. Don't hesitate, don't delay, but come while the Spirit is calling, and oh my, let Him finish the work that He will start in your life.
Yes, amen.
Amen. You sisters can come to the instruments if you would. Just a little short exhortation for a Thursday evening, but you know, I'm happy. I don't know about you. You know, it's just thinking there's so much. We have been so blessed to see what God is doing in our lives and in our hearts, and how we should just praise Him and thank Him. Amen.
Yes.
And all I can think is I'm just so glad Jesus set me free. Amen. Oh, it's just so, when you think about that, Satan had me bound in a life of condemnation and beat down, not knowing. But Jesus, by His grace and His Holy Spirit, has opened up my understanding to His precious word, and filled us with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and brought us to a place of freedom in the Spirit of Christ Jesus. Oh, my.
We've
been set free. Glory. Let's all stand if you would. Amen. Maybe we can sing that little chorus. Amen.
I'm so glad that Jesus set me free. I'm so glad that Jesus set me free. I'm so glad that Jesus set me free, singing glory, hallelujah. Jesus set me free. Well, I'm so glad that Jesus set me free. I'm so glad that Jesus set me free. I'm so glad that Jesus set me free. Singing glory, hallelujah, Jesus set me free. Well, I'm so glad that Jesus set me free. I'm so glad that Jesus set me free. I'm so glad that Jesus set me free. Singing glory, hallelujah, set me free. And I'm on my way to heaven, and I'm shouting victory. I'm on my way to heaven, I'm shouting victory. I'm on my way to heaven, I'm shouting victory. Singing glory, hallelujah, Jesus set me free.
I'm so glad He set me free. Aren't you?
Amen.
Amen. That's just really good. Many, many, many good things tonight. You know, and one of the things He mentioned, I think about so many times, the quote where Brother Branham said, what you are here is what you be there. I think about that so many times. You know, when I'm going through different things in life and things happen, you know, there is trials and tests come up, and I think about, you know, well, when I am here, right now, how I'm handled, this is what would be there. And, you know, I think it'd be good if we all thought about that more. You know, it's just, it's so precious to think and understand the reality of that and have the richness of it in your heart, what it means. So it's so precious. So thankful for the word tonight, aren't you? Amen. It's been very good. Let's bow our heads. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You again from the very depths of our heart for this precious little time you've given us to gather here this evening. And Father, and gather us at a time that, Lord, the world, me and my brother talked about, but the world is in such a turmoil, Lord. And people are scared, and they have so much fear. And it's, you told us that men's heart would be filled with fear. And Lord, it's happening. And people are just running so scared. And they're so unsure of what's going to happen. But Father, through your mercy and grace, you've revealed to your little bride just every move, Lord, of what's going to take place and where the assurance lays within our hearts that during all these times of what's going to happen, and Lord, the squeeze that will come on, all these different things, but yet, Lord, there's such a peace in the time of trouble. There is peace though the world be raging and all their troubles and problems they have. But Lord, we're so thankful for that peace, that blessed peace. Oh, we appreciate it, Father, so very much. And we just ask now, as we come to a time we have to leave this little place for a moment of time, but Lord, you just bless us. Lord, just stir our hearts to pray more and to dedicate our life more to you, consecrate ourselves. And Father, study the Word of God. And Lord, let us be in a position where we are truly getting ready to leave this world and we're preparing for it. So help us now, Father, to find ourselves being one of those people, Lord, that'll be exactly what you want us to be. Just bless us now. Protect us, keep us safe, Lord. And again, bring us back the next appointed time if you should tarry. Father, one of these days we know that it'll be one of these services and it'll be the last one. And what a glorious time that's going to be. So we ask that you just bless us now. Through the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we ask these things. Amen. Praise his wonderful name. I love him. Amen. May God richly bless you.